This Week in America with Rick Bratton. Issues that matter to you. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
In 2018, the confidence code for girls written by two TV news anchors, Caddy Kay and Claire Shipman, spent an amazing 28 weeks atop the New York Times bestseller list. A blueprint for teenage girls to build the confidence they need to become bold, brave, and fearless women. Now, the highly anticipated follow-up, Living the Confidence Code, shares the inspirational stories of real-life young women. Extraordinary girls who took risk, sometimes doubted themselves and even failed, but through it all, discovered the confidence to accomplish their goals. Caddy Kay and Claire Shipman, authors of Living the Confidence Code, Real Girls, Real Stories, Real Confidence. They're our guests coming up next on This Week in America.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. That's 800-298-0306.
We are the Debt Destroyer Network. Any debt you have, credit card, tax, student loan debt, call now for free information that helps you destroy your debt. It's great advice. Plus, when you make this free call now, we have debt destroyer experts ready to help. They can show you how to destroy your debt and get your life back on track. Debt problems don't have to be overwhelming. You can live stress-free and debt-free. Credit cards, medical bills, IRS tax problems, even student loan debt. Learn about free programs offered by the credit card companies, hospitals, and even the government that can help slash your debt. Call the Debt Destroyer now for free information. Call now.
877-360-0430. 877-360-0430. 877-360-0430. That's 877-360-0430.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. In 2018, the Confidence Code for Girls became a publishing phenomenon, sitting atop the New York Times bestseller list for an amazing 28 weeks. Co-authors, journalist, and TV news anchors Caddy Kay and Claire Shipman are back with their highly anticipated follow-up, Living the Confidence Code, Real Girls, Real Stories, Real Confidence. Caddy is a BBC World News America anchor based in Washington, D.C., frequent contributor on Meet the Press, Morning Joe, NPR, many others. She's covered four presidential elections, the Clinton sex scandal, wars in Kosovo, Afghanistan, and Iraq, reported from the Pentagon just 20 minutes after a hijacked plane flew into the building on 9/11, known for her work on women's issues. Claire spent almost three decades as an award-winning television journalist, CNN, NBC News, 14 years a regular contributor on ABC's Good Morning America, other ABC news broadcast as well, awards for coverage of the 1989 Tiananmen Square student uprising, the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing. Caddy and Claire, longtime friends who have been writing books together for over a decade, along with Jill Ellen Riley, authors of Living the Confidence Code, and Caddy and Claire back with us on This Week in America. Welcome back to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Rick, so nice Thank to you, with Rick.
You know, this book is, I'm going through this, and I want to talk about all 30 of the girls in there, but we don't have time to do that, so we'll focus on some. But when did you come up with the decision to build on the skills that the Confidence Code for Girls taught and write Living the Confidence Code? It's almost like this book had to happen, isn't it?
I think we, yes, Rick, thank you so much for having us on. We realized fairly quickly after we saw the appetite for Confidence Code for Girls that trying to reach girls with stories was just the next natural step. Girls, we've seen from all of the research and just our own common sense, learn best from other girls. Yes. And we all tend to learn better from stories. And so we thought if we could find more of these powerful voices, but also just not just to be role models really for the girls who are sort of unattainable doing incredible things, but if we could tell these stories in a way that deconstructs them and demystifies them and really reveals the fear, the struggle behind what some of these girls achieved, we thought it would make it really empowering for our young readers.
You know, and you do that so well. You're reading some of these stories and you're sharing tears with the young ladies as they're going through setbacks. It wasn't like you set out to find 30 perfect girls and everybody could emulate their success. You really found different personalities, didn't you? Different goals, different stories. Girls that sometimes struggle to build their confidence.
Oh, Rick, I'm so glad that you spotted that in the book, that theme through the book, because it was really important to us and all of the work that we've done on confidence in women and in girls shows us that struggle, even failure, is part of the process of dealing and growing your confidence. And that just to pretend that we come out of the box perfect and that some people have no struggles, I think is doing a disservice to girls. So we really tried to choose girls who were honest about the fact that it hadn't all been plain sailing, right? I mean, if we try to encourage our girls to be perfect, we're just setting a standard that they're never going to reach. And what we love about these girls is that they were prepared to say, you know, like the girl who opened a thrift store in her school that was in an underserved area, and she was trying to do basically a clothes exchange, and she started it. At the beginning, it was a massive failure. Or the girl who loves baking and decides to open a pancake cafe, and she has her soft opening and no one comes. And I love the fact that the girls are prepared to say this, to tell us about how they got through those moments of failure and struggle in order to grow their own confidence. I'm glad you spotted that because it's so important in the book.
Well, some people would say, okay, what exactly is confidence? And you talk about that right at the beginning of the book, but it's really defined differently for different people, isn't it?
It is. I think it is, and it manifests itself differently.
Yes.
In different people. People use it in different ways. People have different confidence challenges. What we find interesting, and this is the other thing you'll see that all these stories tend to have in common, is the formula for building more confidence really is the willingness to take a risk, which is hard and frightening for all of us, even adults, some struggle, some failure, as Patty mentioned. And then that process, which ultimately creates some perseverance, is what allows us to stockpile confidence. So the girls are all going through it in different ways. But really, you know, some of the girls, it's what I really love, too, is that, you know, some of the girls have we tried to outline their sort of regular girl stuff at the end of each chapter, too, or just throughout the stories. We, you know, they accomplish these amazing things. These sisters in Indonesia who started to buy plastic bags to clean up.
Yes,
the
love
beaches.
That story.
And I love them. But then they talk about Melody is still scared to speak to girls her own age or worried about flying. Or, you know, so all of the girls really talk openly about some of their particular confidence struggles and then often how what they attempted and achieved help them in that area too.
And when you think,
but one thing they have in common, Rick, is that they all were prepared to take risks.
Yes.
And one of the things we have found, and we have this great an academic when we very first started looking at confidence, just gave us this great description of confidence. And he said, confidence is the stuff that turns thoughts into action. But mm-hmm. to get to that action, you have to take a risk. And these girls, whether they are in Ethiopia or Indonesia or Nepal or California or New York or Michigan, they've all taken risks to do something. And that's the common theme through the book.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the sisters in Bali. This is interesting because they're literally taking on the government. I mean, they are taking on adults, and we see that in so many of these cases where, you know, the young lady in Flint, Michigan, who's trying to get the attention of the president of the United States of America to discuss the water crisis there. So, boy, talk about getting out of your comfort zone. This is not dealing with somebody else on your grade level. You're dealing with people in authority, and even adults are intimidated in dealing with these people.
You know, it's so interesting because, yes, Melody and Isabel were so worried. They couldn't believe that they ultimately, when they got to a point where they realized, well, we're going to have to deal with legislation. And that just seems incredibly intimidating.
Yes.
And I think Mari taking that risk to write to the president and talk about the water in Flint. And so some of these stories are really big, right, in a way that we would understand, right? They're taking on something quite large. And then some of the stories, like Yakava, who really negotiates with her father and her community and looks for outside allies to try to get out of her own prearranged child marriage at an early age, which is something also none of us could imagine. And it's very personal, but also societal. And then we have girls who take the ultimate risk, Taylor Fuentes, who's just horribly bullied in the United States, a young girl, and just couldn't quite figure out how to deal with it. And the big risk for her was ultimately speaking up, which really is sometimes just as hard as taking on the government to admit something like
yes.
that to adults and to deal with it openly. And so I think it's all of them face some, I think, that sort of level of, oh, this seems really hard, and then they powered through.
The book we're talking about is Living the Confidence Code. This is the follow-up to the runaway bestseller, The Confidence Code for Girls. The co-authors, journalists, TV anchors, Katie Kay and Claire Shipman back with us on the program. Book available wherever books are sold. It's such a powerful read for not only young girls, but for all of us. Talk about trying to limit this to 30. I'm thinking that, wow, you've probably got about notes on 500 people there. You could do like 7 or 8 sequels to this. But you did a really good cross-section. And what's interesting is each of these sort of built their own special brand of confidence, didn't they? They're unique stories.
Yes. And we wanted the book to be global, which was new for us. We hadn't really done such a global book before. So that kind of, gave us some parameters of who we were looking for. We wanted girls that were doing different things. As Claire said, some of them are taking on the world and are big campaigners and activists, and some of them are doing small personal things. And we wanted to show that as well. So we wanted a range of ethnicities. We wanted a range of cultures. We wanted a range of challenges and responses from these girls. Initially, I think we discussed with the publishers, should we do 50 stories? And I think it was me, Claire, who said, 50, that's way too many. We're never going to find 50 girls. And that's like a reporting nightmare for us. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the problem was selecting only 30 girls, because girls out there are doing amazing mm-hmm. things. And this was, I think, we're all, Rick, we've had a hard time, right? We're living in a difficult moment. For so many people, and we all need a bit of good news and inspiration. And boy, is there good news and inspiration coming from teenage girls. We have a generation of super activist, exciting, brave teenage girls,
yes.
and whittling it down to just 30, that was a challenge.
I think, Rick, too, it's what Katie said is so important. That was a takeaway we hadn't expected. There's a lot of data that shows this young generation is more civic-minded, is more of an activist generation, boys and girls. But the girls we found are taking it to a different level, and they really, really are engaged. And it's important for all girls and parents to understand that actually when you get involved in something that's larger than yourself, that's really a confidence hack. There's a lot of interesting research that shows, if you're scared to do something, you're scared to speak, you're nervous, if you turn it on its head and really start advocating for something else, your team, something bigger than yourself, your fear vanishes and it's easier to take risks. And so especially in adolescence, it's incredible when you can get young people to focus outside of themselves, then they really thrive.
You know, Katie, I'm reminded of something we talked about in the first, after we talked about the first book, and this is the girls between 18 and 14 have confidence levels that decline by what, like 30%? It's amazing figures. So this really is boosting young women, young girls, when they really need it the most, when they're going into that period of self-doubt, isn't it?
Rick, you are the perfect host. Not only are you asking about this book, but you remember the stats from our last book. I love that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yes, that was a survey we did that showed that between the ages of 8 and 14, girls lose a lot of their confidence and they never really get it back. And I think what we wanted to do with this book was encourage kind of the flip side of that, to show girls what is possible when you do take a risk. With concrete examples, because all of our research shows that girls really learn from stories, as we all do. We all love stories, but girls learn from other girls. And it's great that Claire and I do the research and we put the books out and we put the information out, but we know there's nothing as powerful, and we both have teenage daughters, so we know how influenced they are by their friends. There is nothing as powerful for a 12-year-old girl as another 12-year-old girl telling her story of what she has done.
You know, and it's interesting, and I've got about a minute or so left here in the program, but it's not just you say, think less, risk more. You really go into ways to implement that. You've got the confidence building blocks, the confidence quicksand, all of that is in the book, Living the Confidence Code. What are you working on now? The two of you are superb together in writing books. Any other projects you're working on?
Thank you. Well, we're mulling
mulling stage
for women, and we're trying to figure out where we want to go with that. So that's very exciting to us, and we love working together. Partnerships for women and girls are incredible.
Well, we'll look forward to a new book and hopefully a chance to talk about it. But right now, we're going to enjoy and be inspired by their new book, Living the Confidence Code, the follow-up to the bestseller, The Confidence Code for Girls. Katie K. Claire Shipman, co-authors, with us on the program. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much for sharing some time with us on the program today.
Rick, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, Rick. You're an incredible host. Thanks.
You're welcome. You're listening to This Week in America. We're back after these messages.
Make sure you like This Week in America on Facebook, and also you can follow This Week in America on Twitter at TWIA Radio.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
We are the Debt Destroyer Network. Any debt you have, credit card, tax, student loan debt, call now for free information that helps you destroy your debt. It's great advice. Plus, when you make this free call now, we have debt destroyer experts ready to help. They can show you how to destroy your debt and get your life back on track. Debt problems don't have to be overwhelming. You can live stress-free and debt-free. Credit cards, medical bills, IRS tax problems, even student loan debt. Learn about free programs offered by the credit card companies, hospitals, and even the government that can help slash your debt. Call the Debt Destroyer now for free information. Call now. 877-360-0430. 877-360-0430. 877-360-0430. That's 877-360-0430.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now.
You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. That's 800-298-0306.
We are the Debt Destroyer Network. Any debt you have, credit card, tax, student loan debt, call now for free information that helps you destroy your debt. It's great advice. Plus, when you make this free call now, we have debt destroyer experts ready to help. They can show you how to destroy your debt and get your life back on track. Debt problems don't have to be overwhelming. You can live stress-free and debt-free. Credit cards, medical bills, IRS tax problems, even student loan debt. Learn about free programs offered by the credit card companies, hospitals, and even the government that can help slash your debt. Call the Debt Destroyer now for free information. Call now. 877-360-0430. 877-360-0430. 877-360-0430. That's 877-360-0430.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. A secret society, a deadly plot, a president in peril, and it all really happened. The best-selling authors of The First Conspiracy are back with a highly anticipated, little-known, but true story about a failed assassination attempt on President Lincoln. The Lincoln Conspiracy, The Secret Plot to Kill America's 16th President and Why It Failed, by Brad Meltzer and Josh Mensch. Hollywood Reporter has named Brad one of the 25 most powerful authors in Hollywood, and it's easy to see why. Number one best-selling author of 12 New York Times thrillers, nonfiction books like The First Conspiracy about a secret plot to kill George Washington, and The Ordinary People Changed the World Kids book series. Brad is one of the only authors to ever have books on the bestseller list for fiction, nonfiction, advice, children's books, even comic books, winner of the prestigious Eisner Award. TV creator, personality, he helped find the missing 9/11 flag that firefighters raised at Ground Zero. Brad Meltzer, author of The Lincoln Conspiracy, now available, is our guest on This Week in America. Brad, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It is such a fascinating story. Let's go back. The story begins February 1861, a train traveling from Philadelphia to Baltimore. But so much about this seemingly ordinary train is not as it seems. Talk about the secret that's on that train.
Yeah, so we all know the story of John Wilkes Booth ending Lincoln's presidency. This is the story of the first secret plot to kill Abraham Lincoln at the very start. And in the middle of the night, as you said, there's a train. And on that train, lots of passengers, but there's four that we're focused on. One of them, two of them are businessmen. One is a woman, and she has an invalid brother, but none of them are who they say they are. One of the businessmen is a man named Alan Pinkerton, head of the Pinkerton Detective Agency, one of America's most famous private eyes. The woman is Kate Warren. She is America's first female private eye, and her so-called brother is not her brother at all. He's certainly not an invalid. That's Abraham Lincoln. He's actually, they've given him a code name, they've given him a disguise and put him in disguise, and they are whisking him away in the middle of the night from the secret society that is plotting to murder him. And this is not fiction. This all really happened as Abraham Lincoln was going to be sworn in, yes, as the 16th president. And I can tell you, that's chapter one of the book. That's a little, I just ruined chapter one of the conspiracy. But there's the opening scene.
Yeah, it's just amazing. You can find out who these people are, why they were attempting to do this. What's really fascinating is I thought we knew just about everything about Abraham Lincoln. He's been much wrote about, especially in recent years, much has been written about him. How did you find out about this conspiracy?
You know, I first heard the story years ago, but I only knew the outer edges of it, you know, kind of like having the corner and side pieces of your puzzle. I didn't have the full picture. And what I loved about the story was, one, I'd never heard it. And it's the reason is why. Why do we not know this story? And the story took place, it's because of when it happened. As Lincoln was getting ready to be sworn in as the 16th president, to be sworn in, he had to go and take a train from his home in Springfield, Illinois, to Washington, D.C. And to do that, you have to go through Baltimore. Maryland at the time was a slave state. So the plot by the secret society was very simple. They were going to kill Lincoln when he came through Baltimore, ending his presidency before it began. But the reason you don't know it is because guess what happens right after? Civil War breaks out. And 4 years after that, Lincoln gets shot in the head. And this story of the secret plot to originally kill him becomes a footnote to history. And Josh Mensch, my co-writer, he and I just threw ourselves into this and loved pulling out these amazing details.
In the prologue, you say it's the story of a moral crisis in America, so profound our nation was almost destroyed by it, and its aftermath still being grappled with today. A lot there, but these were tumultuous times, weren't they? As Lincoln was about to be sworn in, the country was divided.
And that's why we took on the story. You know, it's very titillating to say, here's the secret plot to kill Abraham Lincoln.
Yes.
And I love that part of the book. But what I also love, and we decided, the reason we picked the story is it let us tell the fuller context. America at the time was fracturing into two. Literally, whatever side you were on, you hated the other side. You thought the other side were complete, utter, horrible people. Does that sound familiar to you?
Yep.
That's exactly where the country is today, right? You can't avoid it. And what we wanted to write about is what great leaders do in that situation. Abraham Lincoln comes in and he doesn't divide us further. He unites us. And I think for us, the other part was seeing, you know, we all know Abraham Lincoln as this amazing person who, of course, frees the slaves, wins the war. But that's at the end of his presidency. The plot to kill him at the start of his presidency shows a very different Lincoln, where he's learning and he's figuring it out. He's making mistakes. They lose the inaugural address. He's so new at this. And he's nervous. And you know, when he's told that he wins the presidency, you know what he's doing? He's on the back of his building playing handball, of all things. And I love the fact that we see him like that. You know, what we do with our heroes today in America is we build grand statues of them and we worship at their feet. And we do them a huge disservice, because what we're doing is we're saying they're not like us, and they're exactly like us. When you see Abraham Lincoln here, he's not perfect in every way. And he reminds us that all of us are amazing and we're terrified and we're brave and we're cowards. Some of us all in the same day, some of us all in the same few minutes. And that's not a bad thing. It means we're human. And I love the fact that you can get that inspiration when you read The Lincoln Conspiracy.
The book's available wherever books are sold. Brad Meltzer's website is bradmeltzer.com. You can get information there as well. I got about a minute or so left here. So much information in the book. You mentioned Alan Pinkerton, who literally gave us the name Private Eye based on his logo. We find that out in reading the book. And Kate Warren, you talk about her as sort of your hero coming out of this book. She was America's first female private detective, and this is back in 1861.
Yeah, this is right at the start. She's 26 years old when she first gets hired. She walks into Alan Pinkerton's detective agency, 26-year-old woman, widower, no kids, has to support her family, says, I want a job. And Alan Pinkerton, no one is hiring women as investigators, much less in law enforcement at the time. But Alan Pinkerton, God bless him, looks at this woman and says, you know, people are going to talk to her in ways they're never going to talk to me. And brings her aboard, brings another woman aboard after that, really at the cutting edge of this. And Kate Warren is one of the women who comes in and works on the plot to save Abraham Lincoln. So, you know, I know people love this for Mother's Day and Father's Day, but I love the fact that everyone has someone to root for in this book. You know, there's like these.
Yes.
And Kate Warren just becomes a superhero. And one of my favorite scenes is when they have to go and tell Abraham Lincoln there's a murder plot to kill him. And the Pinkertons go, they knock on his hotel room door and they say, sir, you know, there's this plot that we think, you know, we need to get you out of here. And we know you have an event in Philadelphia tomorrow, they tell Lincoln. But you should skip the event in Philadelphia. Let us get you out of here fast or we'll save your life. Lincoln says no. You want to know why? Because in Philadelphia the next day he doesn't want to miss his event. Because the next day what they're doing, and Lincoln's supposed to be in Philadelphia for, is honoring one of his heroes, a man named George Washington. And in that moment, I love the fact that he wants to do it just for George Washington. We actually found the original speech that Lincoln gives that day.
Amazing.
And in the speech, he says, as a country, we should stand together, or you might as well assassinate me. And he says it in the context of knowing there's a plot to kill him. So I love that you get to see this kind of behind the scenes. And right after that, they whisk him away and put him on this train. I won't tell you how it'll ruin it, but it's so much fun to see Abraham Lincoln doing these very amazing things that we never knew about.
Well, and we see this evolution of him as a leader from the very beginning. Brad Meltzer has been our guest on the program. The book is the highly anticipated The Lincoln Conspiracy, The Secret Plot to Kill America's 16th President and Why It Failed. Available wherever books are sold. Brad's website is bradmeltzer.com. Brad, always a pleasure. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're listening to This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us.
Make sure you like This Week in America on Facebook, and also you can follow This Week in America on Twitter at TWIA Radio.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.